Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22. And we'll begin reading. Actually, we'll just read one verse this afternoon. The Bible says this: "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for giveth of his bread to the poor." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your goodness to us, your kindness to us, your greatness, Father, your faithfulness. Oh, Father, what greater example can we have of faithfulness in you? Help us now, God, as we consider your word today, to have a heart like yours. In Jesus' name, amen. He said here, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Now, upon looking at that, your first thought might be, well, that's somebody who gives a lot of money. But I think that we need to reconsider that concept. Recently, I was talking with a man, a preacher, and he said that as he's traveled around from church to church, he says, there's one thing, he says, I see and I fear that it is true. Among churches, the church has become stingy. So the church has become stingy. And he wasn't talking about our church, he was talking about churches in general. "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Bountiful eye. That means a person who has a goodness, a good eye. That is to say, a person who, when they look, they are looking for the good of others. A person who has a bountiful eye. A bountiful eye. An eye for giving. An eye for seeing the lack and having a desire for it. There are three areas, three eyes, three things that I believe, three parts of this bountiful eye that I'd like us to consider this afternoon. First of all, is the eye of compassion. He that hath a bountiful eye. Why? He gives his bread to the poor. Why does he do that? Because, first of all, he has compassion. That is, he sees that they have a need. It says, they have a need, I want to meet it. They have a need. I want to meet it. This is a person who has a bountiful eye, an eye of compassion. Psalms 111:4, it says, "He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Compassion is exemplified to us in Christ, and exemplified to us through God the Father and what He has given to us. For God so loved the world, He saw a need that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A bountiful eye is an eye of compassion. Psalms 145:8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." What's the evidence of it? Slow to anger and of great mercy. Slow to anger. Of great mercy. An eye of compassion. The evidence of compassion is the patience and a desire for the good of others. The eye of compassion. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." He continually says, I see they have a need. I want to meet it. I see they have a need. I want to meet it. He says again in Lamentations 3, verse 32, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. I'm so thankful that God doesn't just look at me once and say, that's it. This is what he's done. This is what he gets. I'm so glad that even when I reap for what I've sown, that he still will come and visit me again with compassion. Because that he has a bountiful eye. He looks and sees that yes, there are problems, but there are needs. And I want to meet those needs. Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were weak and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They needed someone to lead them. And it broke his heart. And he was moved with compassion. And so what did he do? Peter, go over there and talk to those people. Is that what he did? No. He went. He called. He cried out. Like wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Crying out to men, who is simple? Oh, come to me. And receive instruction. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. In Matthew 15, 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. He didn't just have compassion on them because they had no leadership. He had compassion on them because they had no food. So they have a need. I want to meet it. He that hath a bountiful eye. An eye of compassion that sees the needs and wants to meet it. Matthew 18, 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That was compassion to forgive what was owed. Matthew 18, 33. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant even when I had pity on thee? That's the pattern. If God has had compassion on you and I, should we not have compassion on others? A bountiful eye. An eye of compassion. An eye that says they have a need. I want to meet it. In verse Matthew 20, 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Blind people needed to see. God will give us understanding. He has compassion. How easy it is for us to be short with people who we feel do not have the mental knowledge that we think that we have attained to. Why in a group with the de-icers and all, we had some new people who came in as backups this year, and I overheard one of the guys saying, well, yeah, there's some people who are just absolutely useless. I didn't see useless people. I saw some people who needed trained, and maybe that's his problem. He doesn't have the compassion to train them and teach them anything. He thinks they should all be up at his level, which he doesn't recognize any lack of ability or knowledge in himself. A lack of humility. Compassion to give that gift of sight. Luke 15, 20. And he arose and came to his father. The good Samaritan, the prodigal son. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, all the son had to do was turn and start to head home. And when he was a great way off, think about it, down out on the porch and he sees him walking. You know, I can tell, and I can see this because I don't know about you, but all my life I've been able to tell if I knew somebody when I saw them walking from a long way away. I can tell by the way they walked who it was, if I'd seen them before or not. And I can just see the dad out there on the porch and he sees this figure of a person walking. And he looks and he says, I know that gait. I know that way of walking. That's my son. That's the one who asked for everything beforehand, who went off into a far country and squandered all that I gave him. There he is, and the Bible says, and he saw him a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He saw him a long way off, a long time, even before his son got a chance to get up there and give his prepared speech. His father had already had compassion. He's coming home. He's going to have a need. I want to meet it. He ran out. He said, that boy needs to know he's still loved. And he ran out and hugged him and kissed him on his neck. So no, daddy still loved him. He wasn't offended. You know, in that day to do that was like saying your dad was dead. He wasn't offended. All he saw was a son who had a need, a bountiful eye. An eye of compassion that sees a need and says, I want to fill it. The second one is this, an eye of comfort. They have a pain, and I want to soothe it. They have a pain, and I want to soothe it. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One of the greatest things you'll ever do to comfort someone is share the Word of God with them. Give them the Word of God. The greatest comfort that I have ever had to my soul in any time of my life when I needed comfort was when I opened the Bible and began to read. And God began to speak to me through His Word. Because He knew, because He is a God of a bountiful eye, and He knew I had a pain, and He wanted to soothe it. Concerning the fiery trials, as though some strange thing happened to you. Peter said, don't think that's odd. God knows the trials you're going to go through. He knows all the mean people. He knows all the pain they try to inflict. But He will soothe it. Psalms 86:17. Show me a token of good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because Thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. When God comforts me, it becomes a testimony to those around me when I am comforted. When I am part of that which comforts, it becomes a testimony to those around us that God is a God of comfort. A God of comfort, an eye of comfort. In Psalms 94:19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, Thy comfort delight my soul. Psalms 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for Thy Word hath quickened me. We need the Word of God. He that hath a bountiful eye, an eye of comfort, they have a pain. I want to soothe it. Don't you like it? I know sometimes, I don't think Debbie mind, but sometimes she gets achy and pain and stuff like that and doing stuff all day, and I'll come along and I'll rub her feet and it'll cause her to relax and cause her to be able to sleep and be able to not feel the pain so much. And I don't mind doing it at all because it comforts her. She has a pain, and I want to soothe it. Can we not have eyes of comfort, a bountiful eye, and see the pain that people are in, and just take time to comfort them with the Word of God? I know it's a little awkward because people aren't used to that, but that's a shame, isn't it? That people aren't used to hearing people comfort people with the Word of God. I don't want that to be the case with me. I want to have the Word of God hidden in my heart. So when I see somebody with a pain, I can comfort them with the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, the Bible said this. Blessed be God, in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort with wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to understand when we're going through difficulties and hardships and tragedies in our lives. It's hard for us to understand. Sometimes we say, God, why has this happened? Have you never considered that perhaps it's because God wants to comfort you in the midst of that distress, because you are going to meet others who are in the same distress and who will need comforted. And you're the one He wants to use. That's why Paul said, I'll glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. That's why he gloried in them. Because God was going to comfort him. And then he would be even more useful to others because he had a bountiful eye, an eye of comfort. That's why he sent us the Holy Ghost. What did he call him? He called him the Comforter. So the contrary wise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So often it's hard for us to understand the need of our forgiveness for those who sin against us. We are so often so overcome by our own feelings of hurt and deprivation that we fail to understand that God wants us to give them the one thing that they cannot give themselves. Forgiveness. And He wants it to be genuine as His forgiveness for me. So must my forgiveness of others be. Because He wants us to comfort. A bountiful eye is an eye of comfort. And then thirdly, a bountiful eye is an eye of companionship. They have an obstacle. I want to move it. They have an obstacle. I want to move it. You ever tried to move something that was just so big you couldn't move it? And you said, man, I wish I had someone else here to help me. I remember when the children were young and Debbie wanted to move all the furniture around. Well, guess who moved it? She tried it sometimes, but she'd hurt herself, and I told her, don't hurt yourself. I'll move it. And I'd move it. I was young and strong, and I'd move it. But the whole time, I was like, I was looking at David. The whole time I was moving that furniture, I saw David. I said, one day, I'm going to have some help. Now I'm looking at Joshua. One day, I'm going to have some help. Now, I didn't mind doing the work, but it's so much nicer when you have somebody to help you do the work, isn't it? He that hath a bountiful eye. It's an eye of companionship. They have an obstacle. I want to move it. I want to move it. Amos 3:3 asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Part of that companionship is that you want to come together to an agreement. You want to agree together in a good thing. You want to agree together. Because you can't walk together unless you agree. That's where the problem of the children of Israel was. The reason they couldn't walk with God is because they just wouldn't agree with Him. They just wouldn't agree with Him. And you know, sometimes that's our problem. The reason we can't get close to God is because we just simply won't agree with Him. He says this, well, I don't know about that. No, we need to have an eye of companionship. Ecclesiastes 4, 8 through 10 says this, There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he have neither child, like David and Joshua, nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. He doesn't have anybody to help him, but it doesn't make his workload any less, because there's nobody to help him. He still has to work to do. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This also is vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. There, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Because see, labor is not just in just doing the labor. But you know, I mean, I enjoy, Brother Tom, I'm sure you'd enjoy winning men to Christ in the jail if you were by yourself. But isn't it great to win men to Christ with somebody? Isn't that better? That's so much better. Because you have somebody with you. You know, even the Bible says that we are God's yoke fellows. That God doesn't want us pulling in the yoke alone. And that He'll come along and pull with us. Because two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Isn't that nice? But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. The eye of companionship. Coming alongside to move the obstacles out of the way. Many hands, as they say, make the work light. Isn't that better? It's so much better when you have someone who will work with you. A companionship. Philippians 2:25, yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and my companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Epaphroditus was Paul's companion in work. He wasn't the only one. He is one of many who came alongside and helped Paul with what he had to do. Well, I think about those times they were coming for Paul, and you know what they did? The Bible says they let him down outside the wall. They let him down in a basket by a rope. They heard that Paul was in town preaching. They didn't like it, and they said, Paul, we got to get you out of here. Get in this basket, we'll tie a rope to it, and we'll let you down, and you can run off. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. That wasn't one guy letting Paul down out of the window by rope, or Paul would have had a real quick trip. There are several people who came along who loved Paul, who wanted to help Paul, who took a hold of that rope so they could let him down. Do you think they said, oh, he's just a preacher, let him go? You think that's what they did? I didn't like his message Sunday anyway. No, these are people who loved him. And because they loved him, they knew that it was going to be uncomfortable. They knew it was going to be dangerous and difficult, but they wanted to make it as well as they could for him. They were on the rope, holding the rope so that Paul could preach another day. You think that the Bible said that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He doesn't forget what you do. He doesn't forget you holding the rope. Those people, we don't even know what their names were. Do you think they're not going to receive a reward from God? for holding the rope so Paul could get down? They will. And I have companionship. Hebrews 10:33, partly he says, he's talking to these who should not lose their confidence. He says, they were having trouble. He says, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, they found out you're Christians and they started making fun of you and giving you a hard time. He said, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Companions of them that were so used. Stepping up next to, alongside of, they got an obstacle. I want to move it. Companionship. A bountiful eye. A bountiful eye. I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, folks. If your heart's right, everything else will be too. If your heart's right with God, you'll move everything else up to match up to it. Everything will fall in order with it. And if it's not, nothing will fall in order. We got to have a bountiful eye. Why? He says, because he's going to be blessed because he gives his bread to the poor. Do you understand? It doesn't say he gave his money. He might not have money himself. But he has a bountiful eye. And he just can't stand there and watch poor people starve. And he gives his bread to them. God said, you're going to be blessed when you have a bountiful eye. A bountiful eye. Let's all stand to our feet for a few minutes this afternoon.